I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught. Find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle. And then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets podcast. My name is Todd. I'm here with my friend Rivka, and this is a podcast where we discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we have our special guest here with us again today, Burke. How are you today, Burke?
I am fantastic. Thank you for asking.
Good. And thanks for joining us again and sort of jumping in for Aaliyah. Appreciate that. Rivka, how are you?
I am happy to be here as always.
Awesome. Good. Tell me how the Pacific Northwest is treating the two of you today.
It looks just like any other typical November day.
Yeah.
Super gray skies, really vivid
rain,
colors,
rainy.
Lots of leaves on the ground. Still, but we're almost done. We're almost all off of, I say we're almost done because of the collecting and getting rid of the leaves that,
yeah,
you know, that comes along like with beautiful colors. But
I feel like that's been ongoing for quite some time.
It, yeah, it goes on for like about 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if the trees would all coordinate and drop their leaves at the same time. They do not.
That's true.
No, they do not, no. Unfortunately.
And our yard waste bins are insufficient for the amount. So the dropping of the leaves goes on for 6 weeks. The collection and removal of them is like a month's endeavor.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's the price of living in an area with so much beautiful vegetation, right?
Yes.
It is. Yep.
Sorry, go ahead, Burke.
Well, I just said I'll take it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's worth the trade-off, right? Some good family work skills there involved too, I'm sure, teaching the kids. So, mm-hmm. I think if I might be out of sequence here, but I think, are we on follow-up for invitations? We usually do that sort of every other one. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to follow up on invitations. I'll follow up on mine first. So I finished reading the entire mental health section of the app. The thing that was slowing me down was actually not the reading. It was watching the videos. For some reason, it's just hard for me to find a time to like sit and watch and give my full attention and, you know, have the sound dialed in and all of that. It's much easier for me to sort of sneak in one little article here and there in between things or if I'm just standing there waiting for something. So I read it. I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. And then I also sort of extended that to some of the other options that are in the app there. That the app is so full of ideas and training and talks and like everything you could ever want to get better at your calling or learn about a specific problem or whatever the case may be. So I've been reading some other things as well. So, but now that I'm officially done with that and I still have a few videos left, but I'm going to move on to another invitation. So I'll have to think of something today to start working on in the future. But that's my follow-up. So Burke, last time you said you weren't working on a specific invitation from conference. Anything specific you've been working on otherwise?
Well, I have been working on journaling with a recent restart about a month ago, and it's been almost a week since I wrote my journal. So I need to reapply. But one of my entries we will actually talk about probably a little bit today. So,
oh, good. Okay. We'll just leave that out there as a teaser. I'm not going to ask any follow-up questions. Rivka, so tell me, how is your invitation to become a better disciple going?
It is going, and the Lord is anxious and eager to give direction when we turn to Him in this. I continue to learn. So, I finished my compassion project. I've continued to notice those things and continue to expand my understanding there. And the next thing that I have felt prompted to do is a study, and I'm starting it tomorrow on Sunday, and it'll go through Christmas. I'm going to read through the Gospels, and specifically, because one of the things that I feel like I need a better understanding of, and this actually we'll probably talk about today because it's in one of my three at the end of Elder Razvan's list, is a better understanding of what Christ-like service actually is. What makes the service Christ-like? And what service are we doing that is maybe not being done in a Christ-like way and so causing trouble? Because I think that happens. You know, it either causes stress for us or is not actually helpful in some ways, or something we feel like we're doing obligatorily. And I don't think the blessings always come quite as well as if we're doing it. So I want to understand better what the Savior means, or what we mean when, you know, in the gospel, we talk about Christ-like service. So I'm going to be reading through the Gospels and looking for characteristics of his service.
That is fantastic. I love that idea, and I can't wait to hear your insights. I like reading the scriptures with one thing in mind or one focus. I've got a ward member who I think their mission president recommended doing that. And so they have a Book of Mormon, you know, or multiple copies of the Book of Mormon that all are different topics. So one is, you know, the Book of Mormon as a discussion of the Savior, and another is Book of Mormon as a parenting manual, and another is a Book of Mormon as something else. So I love reading through those Gospels, especially as we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ, with some thoughts in mind about service. So can't wait to hear what you learn from that. Well, so with that, we'll move on to our discussion of our talk today, and the talk is The Things of My Soul by Elder Ronald A. Razband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. And man, I loved this talk, and I am super looking forward to talking about it with you too. And let's just start out with our fundamental doctrine. And I know Burke's going to say there were seven fundamental doctrines, right? Is that what you're going to say, Burke?
No, there were seven invitations.
Yeah, seven invitations, right.
Well, you're right. Well, seven fundamental doctrines. But I still think that there are a couple of fundamental doctrines even that underpin his 7 points. So
yes. Well, give them to me, Burke. What did you pull away from this?
Okay. So the first one I marked here is when he's telling a story about a young woman who asked him, "What are the most important things I should know?" And his answer was, "I answered with the things of my soul, the things that prepare me to hear promptings, that lift my sights beyond the ways of the world, that give purpose to my work in the gospel and to my very life." So I think that is a central doctrine of what we should know. But then also earlier on, I really like when he said, "The things of our souls are often clarified and deepened by asking questions."
Oh, yes.
So those are
fantastic. So, I'm going to add just a little context. At the beginning, he talked about how he thought using that word "things" was sort of, he said it wasn't elegant or spiritual. We have an ongoing, it's not an argument, but maybe a disagreement about the word "things" in my home. my kids use that word all the time. Oh, there's the thing, you know, we're doing the thing, or, you know, they just, anytime they don't want to put forth the nanosecond of effort it takes to think of the word that they need, they say the word "thing." And so I'm always saying to them, "Thing" is a meaningless word. It has no meaning. You have to come up with something more specific because I have no clue what you're talking about. And fortunately, they did not connect the dots here, because if they had, they would be throwing this talk in my face over and over, saying, "Oh yeah, things is a great word, and here's a whole talk by an apostle about things." So I'm glad that they didn't pick up on the connection there. But having that background of me constantly telling the kids, this is meaningless, it actually made me think just what you said, Burke, is, well, what are these things? What meaning do I give that word now when I think of the things of my soul? So it was a way for me to sort of have a clarifying question and, you know, make me think a little bit more deeply about it. So I love that you pulled those out. And we're going to get into what his things are and how these things, you know, really impact us in our daily lives. But Rivka, did you have anything else to add about the fundamental doctrine underpinning the talk here?
Well, I don't know if this is just, if this is specifically for this talk or just one, a theme that I keep seeing throughout conference, but he quotes President Nelson, who counseled us to take our questions to the Lord and other faithful sources, to study with a desire to believe. And then at the end of that quote, President Nelson says, "Allow the Lord to lead you on your journey of spiritual discovery." And I feel like this list is seven of Elder Rasband's things that will help you do that. And then the invitation, of course, for us to come up with the ones that are specific to our individual personal journeys. So that was an underlying theme for me in this talk, but also conference in general.
Okay, awesome. I think President Nelson has really, you know, I think that underpins everything he's done in terms of the higher and holier way. This is really about our individual journeys. And, you know, the programs of the church are there to help us, but they aren't a substitute for our own relationship with the Savior. So even removing, you know, home teaching and that extra hour of church and so on has the idea, hopefully, has been that it's freed us up for more growth, as we talked about before with that one greatest hits talk from the 80s. So, or late 70s. Well, let's get on to Elder Rasband's things. So, I do want to leave plenty of time for us to talk about our three editions that we might have come up with. So we don't need to go over these in incredible depth, but let's just take them one by one. I'll start with the first one. First, love God the Father and Jesus Christ our Savior. So I think, of course, that is really one of the fundamental principles or doctrines of our entire religion, right? Is love God and love the Savior. And that's the first great commandment. And so he starts there. And then second, what is the next one, Burke, that he goes for?
Love thy neighbor.
Yes. So really the two great commandments, right? Yep. So he's talking about loving God and loving those around us. So, and then he mixes in the third, and I've heard a lot of people throwing in this third one a lot more with the second one sort of implied. So Rivka, what's the third one?
The third one is love yourself.
Okay.
It's an interesting one, right? Because
yeah. So how do we add that in and what does it mean?
Well, I've had several talks with different friends who have really big opinions on this. Some people are very big fans. Some people, this bothers a lot.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this one.
Okay.
Love yourself. And as I have discussed at length with some people and done a lot of pondering myself, for me, when I think about this, and this is, you know, my own, through my own experiences and just my own view of things, to love yourself, I think in the sense that moves us toward God, is to understand the value you have in his eyes. And for me, that helps me to turn to my Savior to repent and be forgiven. And it actually, at least in my experience, takes a lot of, when you don't feel like you're worthy, because you've sinned or because you have mortal struggles that make you maybe feel like you're not as capable as you ought to be or that others are, it can be really damaging to your idea of your self-worth. And that is an easy in for the adversary to say, you're right. It's not worth it. You'll never be good enough. Don't bother. And so I think we have to have at least enough, maybe an understanding of how God loves us and accept that as loving ourselves so that we turn to him when we're struggling.
Hmm. Okay. So are you a fan of this principle in general and the renewed emphasis or maybe the new emphasis we've heard on this principle in general conference, or mostly you are a fan of this specific interpretation of that or application of that?
I think it is. I think this harkens back to conversations we've had on this podcast already about how really inadequate our single word of love is in the English language.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to love yourself? Because the world will certainly be like, you know, we've talked about this too. You do you, however you are is great. You know, you don't need to change. You don't need to be anything for anybody else. And obviously that is not what our Heavenly Father is saying. And I don't think that's what they're trying to get. I don't think that's the message that the leaders of the church are trying to get across. So it doesn't have to do with like self-esteem in the way that the world views it. But I think it is, I think this is an area where Satan attacks us in our view of our self-worth or who we are in our identity.
Yeah.
And so if that's what we mean by love yourself, meaning understand and value yourself enough to work toward the Savior who will help you work toward becoming perfect and what God wants you to be, then I'm all on board for that.
I agree.
Okay. So, excuse me, Burke, so what are the scenarios where you don't like this one or you're not a fan?
Well, I sort of default to a quiet, introverted self-centeredness myself. And so I have spent, I would have to say, a lifetime of trying to adhere to church instructions to stop focusing on me. So when I hear third, love yourself, I think, no, don't do that. They're like, but his description under the heading, I totally agree with, and everything that Rivka just said. So,
yeah. And Rivka gave maybe just a more expanded, explanation of that description. He said a lot of the same things that you just said, Rivka. So,
yeah.
And I'm going to go back to something you already said, Rivka, but I hear a lot of people who say, you do you or anything along that line of like, yeah, it's fine. Just be who you are or whatever. And we had a great, incredible talk in our ward once by a young woman. I think she was 14 when she gave it or something like that, that just talked about, you know, if you're accepting who you are now as your true self, then you're missing, you know, the divine eternal perspective. Your true self is, you know, who you can be through the atonement and through our covenants with the Savior. That's your true self. And that's who you want to be, you know, you do you when you've, you know, reached that level. So, not beating ourselves up. So there's, you know, a difference between shame and guilt, and we could go on and on for a whole podcast about this, but,
Elder Holland, right? What, isn't he the one who said, come as you are, but don't plan to stay that way? Something like
yeah.
that. It's that
yep,
idea.
Exactly.
If you are enough, come as you are, you are worth it right now, but there's work to be done. And
yep.
that work, I think, is the expression of our love for ourselves.
Yes.
If we just let ourselves say and fester and rot where we are, that's not love.
Yeah. Wow. Graphic language there. Fester and rot. Hopefully we're not doing that. You know, I think it was Elder Whiting too, who phrased it when he said, you are enough, but you are not yet complete.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next one. Burke, what is the fourth one here?
It is the gospel fundamental of keep the commandments.
Yes. And I think that one's pretty self-explanatory, and hopefully we all understand we want to obey the Lord's commandments.
Yeah. Simple phrase, all-encompassing reach.
Yes, I love it. Fifth, Rivka, what is the fifth one?
Be worthy to attend the temple, or as he says it, be recommended to the Lord, which I love.
Yes. And one of the insights you gave me, Rivka, a long time ago was that worthy was, by definition, meeting a certain criteria. And so I've been using that whenever I get to the end of a temple recommend interview and I say, are you worthy to enter the temple? And people say, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think so or whatever. And then I say, well, we go over a few interpretations of that. And one is you could say, well, I'm not worthy, but I'm made worthy through the atonement. But I really love the idea of, well, the Lord set explicit criteria and you just answered all the questions for that criteria. So by definition, you are worthy. And so there is no doubt or no question. And if you still have doubt, then we need to, you know, ferret out if you're not keeping any of those commandments. So sixth, I took this one because I love it. Be joyful and cheerful. I think we talked last week that I have a native cheery temperament, just like Joseph Smith. I consider it one of the greatest blessings of my life. Even when times are really tough, the Lord has just blessed me with sort of a happy, outgoing, optimistic sort of personality, and I'm so grateful. I can't even fathom having to make that choice all the time, and I know that there's many, many people who go through that, and I'm just so glad. But he's also telling us that we can choose that joy and to be of good cheer, and that hopefully we can experience that joy and that cheer through the Savior and through the focus of our lives, as he quoted President Nelson. Anything else to add about being cheerful and joyful?
It is possible. It is possible to feel those things and feel more uncomfortable emotions like sadness or grief. That's one of the magic. I think the magical things about the atonement of Jesus Christ is that joy can be a part of our lives even when we're struggling. Elder Holland, in his talk about Liberty Jail, says that, you know, even in the worst, most awful experiences of our lives, we can have spiritual experiences, and those things can be a temple. And I think it follows that same idea. So I don't feel like they're mutually exclusive things, but sometimes we think that I'm sad or I'm miserable or I'm going through a difficult time. I can't feel joy or happiness. But that, with the help of the Savior and my experience, has not been the truth.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's hard to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think the older I get, the more I understand how complex emotions can be at times, and how we can feel joy and sorrow and 10 other things all at the same time. But hopefully we can feel joy even when we're going through those tough times. Seventh, Burke, what's the seventh thing on Elder Razvan's list?
Seventh, follow God's living prophet. And I would add, as he does next, this may be seventh on my list of things, but is at the top of my mind in terms of its importance today. And I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Okay, so what makes it so important to you today, Burke?
Well, later on, he says, we live in a time when we are tossed to and fro, when spirituality, decency, integrity, and respect are under attack. We have to make choices. We have the voice of the Lord through his prophet to calm our fears and lift our sights. For when President Nelson speaks, he speaks for the Lord. And as a gospel doctrine instructor, I have several times in the last few months ran into situations where someone in the class, how do I put this, doesn't agree, or maybe doesn't believe when the prophet speaks that he's always speaking for the Lord, and therefore we need to discern when he is and when he isn't and decide for ourselves. Mm. And that to me is very difficult, because I like to default to, we have a prophet for a reason and we need to listen to the prophet. And yes, it's become especially readily apparent in what we now have in our country, where our ability to attend church meetings, especially in our state, and maybe elsewhere as well, requires wearing masks, and where the topic of vaccination has now become something that could be discussed in a church meeting. Generally, it isn't. But these are really loaded topics. And our prophet has voiced and given us guidance and counsel on these topics. And I've even heard someone say, and I did not agree with this, that the prophet's medical background has made it impossible for him to be objective on this matter. Mm-hmm. And I can't support that. I feel like we have a prophet and we disregard his instructions at our peril.
Right. Okay. Burke's bringing us right there, jumping right into the controversial topics. I love it. Well, he Elder Razvan didn't say the words COVID, but he spent half of his talk just on this principle. So, you know, it had to be at least partially on his mind when he was talking about that. And to your point, Burke, he said here, the account of Naaman reminds us of the risk of picking and choosing the parts of prophetic counsel that fit our thinking, our expectations, or today's norms. And we're in this kind of funny situation. So, at the risk of becoming overtly political and alienating literally everyone who is listening,
that is the risk.
You know, so it tends to be those more on the conservative side who are saying, you know, no masks, no vaccine. And simultaneously, we have people upset on the liberal side about LGBTQ issues. And, you know, Elder Holland gave a talk that wasn't well received from that side. And so both sides at the same time are sort of upset with the leadership of the church saying, you know, this is the thing I don't like or I don't agree with. And Elder Razvan here picked out the story of Naaman, which is a great story. And I think it's very applicable, but you could also pick 100 other stories from the history of the world until now, where a people did not like something that the Lord, you know, said through his prophets or a policy that was chosen or something along those lines. And, you know, you can go back even to the New Testament that Rivka is about to study here, where, you know, the big issue was they wanted a military savior and he was a spiritual savior. And, that didn't fit with the norms or the prevailing theories of the time. So you can pick any time throughout the history of the gospel. There's always something where people don't appreciate what the prophet is saying. So, well, I think this is an important principle. We follow the prophet, and we just studied about polygamy in the Doctrine and Covenants, and I loved reading about Brigham Young saying never had he desired the grave until that moment, hearing about polygamy. And instead of sort of saying that Joseph was a false prophet, he took the time to, you know, pray about it and shore up his testimony of Joseph Smith and his divine calling. So, okay. So at the end, he closes with an invitation. I close with an invitation for each of you to consider the 7 things of my soul I have shared today. And then he reviews them again. And he says, I invite you to identify your own 8, 9, and 10. So I wanted to leave time for this at the end. So Rivka, let's start with you. Tell me, what are your 8, 9, and 10 that you came up with?
Number 8 for me, it's so funny. All 3 of these have to do with learning, which is maybe just a me thing. But
that's a shocker.
I know. Number 8 for me is learn and practice how to receive personal revelation. And I have with that this quote from Sister Beck, who is a General Relief Society president in the early 2000s. Well, so this is from her talk in April 2010. She said, "The ability to qualify for, receive, and act on personal revelation is the single most important skill that can be acquired in this life." And I have loved that quote since she said it. And so that is my number 8. Is continuing to do that, because I think so much of this hinges on that ability for me individually. And then number 9 is to understand better what makes service Christ-like, as I mentioned before. And then number 10, learn about priesthood power and how I can better access and use it.
Oh, interesting. So those last two, Rivka, sound sort of topical or maybe more recent. So is this a scenario where maybe your 8, 9, and 10 might change over time?
I think that's probably what I would hope for, because I think that would mean that I'm progressing and expanding in what I'm doing with my soul, the things of my soul.
Okay, awesome. So those are your 8, 9, and 10. And Burke, tell us your 8, 9, and 10 and how they fit into these first 7.
All right. So my eight is be thankful for the delights around you. And this comes specifically from a podcast I listened to recently called The Happiness Podcast, The Happiness Project, I think.
Okay. Is that Gretchen Rubin? Or is that something different?
Something different.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
She has a book called that, but this is a different podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the things I talked about one of the episodes was identifying delights and even saying it out loud when something delights you. And as someone who is somewhat prone to a more Eeyore type mentality, this for me is kind of magical because they do happen regularly. And so I've been trying to identify those and put them in my journal, which I'm working on. And that ties into number 9, which is bring joy into the lives of others. Now, I know his number 6 was be joyful and cheerful. But I can often feel joy on the inside and have it be not apparent to anybody around me. And I learned this in medical school when I was branded by many as the, and this is then, so I'll use this term, the angry Mormon. And, and I actually wasn't angry, but when I'm thinking and pondering, you know, somebody like someone would say, I saw you walking home yesterday and you looked so angry. And I could recall the time walking and I certainly was not angry at that time. But I have an intense series of facial expressions on my face most of the time, I think, even when I'm not feeling upset or angry. So I'm having to work on externalizing the joy that I feel inside for the benefit of others.
I love it.
And then number 10 for me is repent daily for two reasons. Number one, because it's really uncomfortable for me to do that. Which probably means it's necessary. And number two, because, and this ties in kind of with Rivka, is receiving personal revelation because I need to stay close to the Spirit in order to, you know, discern truth and fix what needs to be fixed in my life. And in order to do that, I have to repent a lot or I have to stop messing up. But the repenting seems more accessible. So.
Yes. Yes, it does. that's an interesting trio there, Burke. And I think I like the idea that you wanted people to see more about what was inside your heart and to maybe give them a greater understanding of you know what's going on in there and expressing more of the joy that you feel, even if it doesn't maybe come naturally to express it that way. So that was a really interesting one. I appreciated it.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my three. And as you know, as I wrote these, I probably could have come up with 20. And so I was asking Rivka about, you know, changing them over time. If you ask me next week, I mean, they're going to be 3 different ones. So this is what I have today, but it's going to be different in another week. So number 8 would be serve God. And specifically serve God through the church. It talked about loving God. But I personally, you know, he talked at the beginning, Burke, you highlighted where he said it, you know, these things give me purpose. Service in the church has brought me so much joy and so much purpose and has, as Elder Oaks pointed out, given me the mechanism to be a force for good in the lives of others. I feel like sometimes doing things out of a duty to do them or an obligation, but I think duty is a better word, gets a bad rap. To me, that's a very holy and sacred purpose, is that this is the job the Lord has given me and I'm going to fulfill it no matter what it takes. And of course, I want to love what I'm doing. I want to do it for, you know, altruistic reasons as well, but having that duty there to drive me to give of myself really helps me get outside of myself. I said this a while back on the podcast, but I mean, honestly, like a Sunday afternoon, if I didn't have a calling for me would usually be like coming home, maybe reading scriptures a little, taking a nap for sure. And then hopefully like playing a game with the kids, if they'll even, you know, consent to spend time with me in their teenage years.
Yeah.
And so that sounds pleasant, but I'm not accomplishing a lot. You know, hopefully I get some good family time out of it, but I still get family time in the evenings anyway. So anyways, I've gone on too long. There's so many distractions in the world and this helps me stay focused on serving others and serving the Lord. Number 9 would be keep moving forward. And I think that's probably the exact same thing that Burke captured when he said repent daily, except using a Disney catchphrase that Aaliyah and I love. Yes. one that we talk about all the time. And the last thing is be humble. And I choose that one, because I am prideful and I need to work on that continuously. But two, because I feel like the more I have focused on what I can do, so let me step back. Whenever there's a problem or something I don't like or something that makes me upset, 9 times out of 10, the solution is to fix something inside of me that's going on in my head, or that I am doing, or some behavior I'm doing, rather than fixing the problem. And it takes humility for me to look at myself and say, okay, here's something I don't like. How can I be part of the solution, or be the solution for myself? So those are my 8, 9, and 10, and those things bring me joy and purpose. So any last comments on those things before we close up here? Rivka, let's start with you.
Well, I was thinking about invitations, and this one is just like chock full of them.
Yes.
But I love that he says these things strengthen our service in the church and in all areas of life. They commit us to Jesus Christ. They remind us of our covenants, and they help us feel secure in the arms of the Lord. I love, though, that list of blessings.
That, yes.
If we make these things that he mentioned, things of our soul, and if we continue to work with the Lord on the things that our individual souls need working on and strengthening in.
Okay, awesome. And I didn't go, there were so many invitations and promises. I didn't go back over all of them, but thanks for highlighting that one at the end, which sort of was all encompassing. Burke, anything else to add?
I would just repeat again his quote from early on, that the things of our souls are often clarified and deepened by asking questions. So keep asking questions.
Any specific questions that you routinely think about, Burke, or anything that's really meaningful to you in terms of questions?
I have often felt like I have more questions than answers in the gospel. And like I echo, to paraphrase Elder Oaks from a previous conference, you know, what do we know about it? I don't remember the specific topic. And he said, often a lot less than we think we do. So yeah. And so I'm going to keep asking questions, but I'm not going to let that make me feel like I don't know the things that I still know.
Yes.
So I have a strong testimony of the gospel and of the reality of Jesus Christ and the restoration of his church on this earth, but I sure don't have all the answers.
I love it. Fantastic. I think we all have questions, and he's encouraging us to keep asking them, and I appreciate that. Well, my final invitation for everyone listening is to find us on social media and share with us your 8, 9, and 10. And I'm not saying that just to promote us on social media, because I don't actually check the social media that often, but I just want to hear what everybody's 8, 9, and 10 are. I would love to read hundreds and hundreds of 8, 9s, and 10s from people all over the world and hear it from friends and family members and anyone who's willing to share, just because I think it would be fascinating to hear what those three things are that are really meaningful to people and bring them joy and bring them purpose. So share that with us on social media. You can find us at Words of the Prophets Podcast at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, or you can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com. And next time, we are going to talk about preparing for the second coming of Christ by Elder Christoffel Golden. So with that, we will end. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.